So those of you who have been with us on a regular basis know that we are working our way through 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul's letter to the church, second letter to the church in Corinth. And so if you have a Bible with you, we're going to be reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You can open up and follow along in that. I'm going to be using my digital Bible today because I forgot to bring Bibles along with us. But if you do have one with you, go ahead and open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Or download the Bible app, right? It's always a good app to have on your phone, have access to God's Word wherever. So as we're settling back in, as we're opening up to that, just as a reminder, Paul wrote this letter as a follow-up to a couple of previous letters he's written to this church. He started this church in Corinth. He left. They started having some issues in the church, division, debate over who they should follow. There was sin that was inviting the church. Paul confronted them over these things. In this letter, he is after that conflict has been resolved. The church has admitted to what they did. They've asked for forgiveness. Paul is writing them back to just reconnect and reconcile with them. And so there's lots of things that we've read about so far that are rooted in that building relationship, reconnecting. In this chapter, Paul talks a bit about his approach to ministry. And we know from our historical understanding that there was some questioning about Paul, but what he says in this chapter really applies to us as we think about what it means to be Christians in the world, what it means to be a church. And so it's good for us to just listen to what he has to write and think about how we interact and how we serve the Lord. Let's start by just reading verse 1 of chapter 4, 2 Corinthians. He writes, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart." And when I read that, I have to stop for just a moment and realize, okay, he started with the word therefore, which means he's linking to something he just said. And I want to just briefly go back to what he said at the end of chapter 3. He said, "We all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is Spirit." He was writing in chapter 3 about the freedom and the glory of God that we experience because of Jesus and how different it is to live by the Holy Spirit than it is to live by the old covenant law that the Israelites were given. And he says at the end of that chapter, through Jesus and by the Holy Spirit, day by day, those of us who have put our faith in Jesus are being transformed. We're being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. This is what God made us for. He made us in the image of God. He made us to be or to have the same kind of character that Jesus had. And yet sin corrupts the world and our lives. It holds us back in many ways. So Jesus sets us free again to become more like the people God meant us to be, to have his character, to have his love for God and fellowship with him, and to love all those people around us. This is the work, the ministry of the Holy Spirit that Paul is talking about. And when he says, therefore, at the beginning of chapter 4, that's what he's referring to. He's saying, because we know the Lord is doing this work in our lives day by day, because we have this ministry of God at work within us, and we're participating in what he's doing, we do not lose heart. Let's think for a moment about why he would say that we don't lose heart. I think we can all acknowledge for a moment that this ministry of the Spirit, this transformation that God is doing in our lives, is not easy work. God doesn't just suddenly and automatically transform us when we put our faith in Jesus. We're not just robots or statues to be changed as he sees fits. He loves us. He's given us the ability to think and choose for ourselves. He wants us to be free to make those choices. He wants us to choose love, to love him and to love others. And so when it comes to spiritual growth and this work of the Holy Spirit, God seeks to transform every area of our life and to make us into the people he intended us to be. It involves both a combination of God's power at work within us and his grace throwing over us, and effort that we put into it. It does take work. And it's not easy to overcome our old habits and our old ways of thinking. It's not easy to overcome thinking in the ways that the rest of the world teaches us to think and just think in the way God wants us to. in this ministry of the Spirit, God also calls us to be his witnesses, to be involved in this work in other people's lives. We come together as a church and we encourage and challenge one another to grow. We interact with people outside the church, encouraging them to see God in their lives and to turn to him as well. And Paul says we don't lose heart in this work, even though it's difficult, because we know God is at work within us. He is the one who gives us the strength and the power to keep doing it. I want to turn to another passage real quick that Paul also wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1, as we can continue to consider this a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'm going to start reading in verse 7. This is a very popular verse that people memorize, talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." The Spirit himself is a spirit of power and love and self-discipline or self-control, as we sometimes read. And it speaks to the strength of the Spirit. The strength is the one, or the Spirit is the one who gives us the strength to do this work of transformation. But I want to expand our reading of 2 Timothy a little bit this morning, because there's so much more Paul says about this that links to what he's saying in 2 Corinthians. So I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. He says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God gave us, Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus from before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." And I love how Paul begins this in verse 6 when he says, "I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God." This is more than just not losing heart. This is fanning into flame what you know to be true about God, about the gift of the Spirit he's given you. It's important that we remind ourselves that God is with us through his Holy Spirit, that he gives us strength and power and perseverance. He gives us everything that we need to persevere and to go beyond perseverance, but to really thrive in this world for him. Those are powerful words that Paul is saying. We need to embrace what we know to be true about God and this gift that he's given it, no matter what we may experience, no matter how difficult living for God in this world might seem. We know that the Holy Spirit can give us the strength that we need. And so he calls us to move toward this gift and recognize the great power there is into fanning into flame the gift of God. He reminds us in this passage that the Holy Spirit gives us power, love, and self-control, that God saved us not because of anything we did, but because of his own purposes, his own desire. And so it's God working in and through us as we make ourselves available to him. These are the reasons we have for never giving up hope as the Holy Spirit continues to work in our lives. So now let's go back to 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. I'm going to read on verses 2 through 6. So rather than losing heart, he says, "Rather we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of the darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." There are a lot of things that Paul says here. I want to highlight a couple of them. First of all, he makes a strong case for a clear and simple explanation of the gospel when we speak about Jesus. And as we grow in our church, as I mentioned earlier, this work of making disciples and work of being transformed by the Spirit is not an easy thing. And it can be tempting to try to find ways to make it easier. And we know that in Paul's time, there were people who came along who made it about something else. And they were really making it about themselves and their gifts and their power and their strength. Paul mentions deceitful and shameful ways, using manipulation and deception to try to get people to do what we want. And it can be tempting, honestly, to do those kinds of things. We know what we could do to just attract a crowd and make everyone have fun and make everyone feel good. But is that really accomplishing God's purposes? It ends up distracting and clouding God's purposes, and even feeds into what Paul said about Satan, who blinds the minds of unbelievers, who makes it difficult himself for people to truly understand the gospel message. And we don't want to add to that ourselves by complicating things through those deceptive ways that Paul makes. And so he makes this point that we want to keep it as simple as possible. But he also acknowledges in here that it is still the work of God. We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, he says. We want to let his light shine through us and out into the darkness. The goal is to allow Jesus to shine through our lives, to shine in our hearts and our minds and in the people we interact with, to give them the knowledge of God's glory and grace offered to them through the sacrifice Jesus made when he died on the cross in exchange for our sins. I'm going to try to keep it as simple as that. Now let's go ahead and read the rest of chapter 4, and then we're going to discuss this a little bit more. Verse 7, he says, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, 'I believed, therefore I have spoken.' Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised Jesus, the Lord, from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause the thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore," he comes back to the beginning, "we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal." Now that passage, verse 7, is a key to this entire chapter. He says, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." And that's really what Paul is saying throughout this entire chapter over and over in so many ways. He highlights the different challenges that come from life as a Christian, through life living as a church in this world, and seeking to be an effective witness for Jesus. He talks about the barriers that Satan puts up. He talks about the distractions and when we try to use cunning ways to preach to people. He says we're inflicted in every way. If you read through the book of Acts about Paul's journeys, you see some of the affliction that he suffered. He was stoned, he was beaten, he was chased out of cities by people who were offended by what he was saying. Riots sprung up in response. Paul was afflicted in lots of ways. We don't always experience those obstacles today, though some Christians around the world experience them. But we recognize that there is still resistance, there is offense, there's persecutions that do happen. It is difficult sometimes to live as a Christian. And you can feel afflicted because you don't fit in with those around you. And there can be pressure to try to fit in. But Paul's not saying any of these things in a defeated way. He's not just complaining about ministry. He's not complaining about life in Christ. He's pointing to the source of strength and the strength of hope and the source of hope in everything. His statements about the difficulties that we face are met with the power and the strength of God himself. He says, we do not lose heart. We don't despair. We're not forsaken. We're not destroyed. He compares the suffering that we experience and the challenges of the world to experiencing the death of Jesus in his own life and sharing in the suffering that Jesus did for our sake. And he says, I do this. I experience the death of Jesus in my life so that the life of Jesus can be manifested or shown in our mortal bodies. As we step out of the way, as we allow ourselves to be humbled, to step back, God fills us and we get to see his strength and Jesus' life shining through us more and more. So all of these hardships and challenges that Paul brings up, he says, are light and momentary afflictions. He can minimize them when he compares them to the greatness of God and the greatness of what God is doing in and through him and around him. He says, we may be wasting away externally, but God is renewing us day by day and doing such great things in us and through us throughout the time that we have that we do not lose heart. This is the message over and over. We do not lose heart. We have hope. We have strength. We have perseverance. We have joy. We know that we're not forsaken, not because of anything that we're able to do. Because it is difficult and it's challenging. No, we have all these things because of what God does in us and through us. And so he writes that analogy of having this treasure in jars of clay to show the all-surpassing power from God. This is the message, the image that that Paul is giving us of life in Christ today. Here's a pot. Just an ordinary clay pot, right? If you tossed it on the ground, it would probably crack and break. I won't do that. But nothing extraordinary about it. It's got a little bit of dirt on it. It's got a few imperfections. This is our life. This is what we have to offer to God. We are a pot of clay. And we may look at ourselves and we may see some unique features, but so often we see the unique features and rather than seeing them as a gift of God, how he created us, we see the imperfections in them. We see how we don't really measure up. We don't really fulfill what we're capable of doing. And there's some truth to that. What Paul points out over and over is no matter how skillful we may be, we sometimes come up short, either in allowing God to work in us or in the way that we interact with people in the world. We end up going back to our selfish ways. We find that our knowledge and our ability to communicate about God is limited. In all the ways that we evaluate ourselves, we look at our abilities, we find out we're just a clay pot, an empty pot without much to offer this world. And God sees us in a different way. But we offer this pot to God. We just say, here you go, God. There's not much to it, but do what you can. And like I said, God sees so much more. He sees that he created us to be just like this. He created us even with our weaknesses and our imperfections. He knows every one of them. He knows that we're not capable of doing everything he's asked us to do on our own. But that's not the way he wants us to live. He doesn't ask us to just go out there and make a difference for him in this world all by ourselves. He asks us to offer ourselves to him. And so we offer him the clay pot of our lives. And he takes the uniqueness and even the imperfections that he built into that pot and graciously fills us with his wonderful treasures. He fills us with the treasures of his love and his unending grace, a love that never changes no matter what we do, no matter how we fall short. He fills us with the gift of Jesus' death and resurrection to pay the penalty for our sins, to give us new life and forgiveness in him. He fills us with the power and the presence of his Holy Spirit. He gives us these incredible gifts. He puts them into our clay pot and he does amazing things through us. He is the one who does incredible things in this world. And he allows us to be part of the work that he's doing. He uses the uniqueness that he's built into each one of us to be a part of his work that ministry that I worked, that I spoke about at the beginning, the ministry of transformation, to allow your own life to be changed, to take the experiences that you have, to give them to God and allow him to show you what it means to live for him. He allows us to be part of his work in changing other people's lives, taking the unique characteristics that you have, even the imperfections and the weaknesses that you're so aware of, to have a positive impact in other people's life. In fact, God allows those weaknesses, as Paul points out, so that God can be seen so much more clearly through us. We have his treasure in jars of clay to show that his all-surpassing power is working, and that it's not us, that it's him, because that's the goal, is to point people to him. I think one of the biggest challenges we have often in effectively serving God is just letting him work. So often we think we need to do it better or bigger or different or faster. It's not happening the way we think it ought to. And so we try to use our clay pot without the treasure to do the work of God. We're not capable of doing that. And so we need to just let God fill us with his treasures and let him do the work and let him be seen through us. We want to measure and notice what God is doing through the things that matter most to him, through things like increasing love, increasing devotion to him, humility. The biggest thing that God wants from us is to simply make ourselves available to him, to show that he is at work in us and through us. Our goal is not for God to notice us, but to notice, to notice God through us. And so when you look at your life and you consider what a cracked pot you might be, don't focus on the imperfections and the weaknesses. Don't focus on the clay pot and the limitations that you are. Rather, consider what God can do and will do through you as you make yourself available to him. Let him fill your life with his treasures. Let him let his glory shine in and through you. That is the message for us today. Yes, we do have weaknesses and imperfections, but it is God who is at work. So everything that we do, we offer to him. We want to see him at work, and we hope that those who notice him shining in and through us. And so before I pray, I actually have one more thing I want to share with you to give you something to follow up on this message a little bit more. I have a story here called Clayton's Story about a clay pot. This was actually written by Wendy. Do you remember when you wrote this? Before 2004. This was early in the life of the church and speaks a little bit more, digs in a little bit more about this story. So I made several copies. I'd like to share these with you. So let's go ahead and pass these around as well this morning. You can take this with you for further reflection. Will you help me again? And as those are going around, let's go ahead and pray. Give thanks to the Lord, and we'll close our worship time together with one more song in just a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your presence in our lives. We thank you for your strength. Lord, help us not keep looking at ourselves and looking at what we have or have not to offer, but rather let us look to you and you alone. Lord, we want to offer our lives to you fully, to let you shine in and through us. We want to allow you to transform us into the people you made us to be, Father. And as we interact with people around us, as we seek to show your love to this world, we pray that they see you, that we can just offer ourselves in whatever ways we are capable of doing, Lord, and that you would multiply those efforts with your strength, with your love, and with your grace. May people in this community come to know you and your grace through us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.